Welcome to Library Voices SC. This is Curtis Rogers, Communications Director at the South Carolina State Library, and Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. And I am very happy to have with me today in the podcast studio Andrew Epting, and he is the Program Manager and State E-Rate Coordinator for the state of South Carolina. And we're going to talk a little bit about E-Rate, which is universal service, and it has to do with funding for education and libraries. So we are going to ask Andrew to talk a little bit about what E-Rate is, and then we're just going to have a conversation about it. So welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. So tell us, what actually is E-Rate? I mean, what does E-Rate stand for?
Right. Yeah, simply enough. Yeah, E-Rate is educational rate, and that really kind of corresponds to a discount rate that schools, libraries, receive from the federal government for discounts on certain things related to internet service, broadband connectivity, even network connections are considered types of those services that are what we call commonly referred to as E-rate eligible. And so E-rate stands for just simply educational rate.
And it's also, I remember years ago talking about E-rate and universal service, and I think there's something, isn't it like in your telephone bill, if mm-hmm. you notice there's like a certain line, a certain amount of money of what everybody pays for their phone bill that goes into E-rate?
Right. So the back in the Clinton administration, one of the big pushes at that time was to reach you know, from an internet connectivity, broadband connectivity perspective, everybody in the United States, making sure everyone in the United States had access to high-speed internet. And so that was also relayed to schools and libraries. Those were areas where connectivity was limited. And educating the workforce of the future, we quickly understood, you know, very quickly that we needed to have high-speed access, internet access to schools and libraries. And those two entities serve as anchors. The Universal Service Fund is what you're referring to as what you see on your cell phone bill. That was the product of that legislation that the Clinton administration put forth, and of course went through Congress and passed. And that is a surcharge, a government surcharge that is funneled to the Federal Communications Commission, and they use that funding to provide what they call the Universal Service Program. There are four, if you will, programs within the Universal Service Fund. You got, you know, the K-12 Standard Schools and Libraries Program. That's what most folks commonly refer, you know about. You've also got three others: high cost, rural health care, and I think telehealth is another one. I think I'm forgetting one of them, but the one that has the most funding and the most applicants and users is by far and away the K-12 Schools and Libraries E-rate program.
So basically, every state would probably have this kind of technology committee to manage. Is it set up the same way in every state? Because here in South Carolina, and by the way, we'll share this website address on the podcast page, but we've got the South Carolina K-12 School Technology Initiative, and it's really kind of a committee because you have different members from different state government organizations. Tell us a little bit about how the committee works.
Right. To answer your first question in terms of what other states have, it's kind of hard to understand what really to follow kind of what the organizational setup for other states. I will say that and in terms of doing a survey of our neighboring states, North Carolina and Georgia, we're finding that in the Southeast, South Carolina is somewhat of a different type of organizational format. Mm-hmm. And I would actually say for the better. And the reason I say that is because we have one committee, an initiative that's legislative appointed, that is very active and meets monthly. The K-12, you know, technology initiative encompasses both a public and private partnership. So we have representatives from the South Carolina State Library, the South Carolina Department of Education, as well as AT&T as member organizations for the committee. And this one committee, this one South Carolina Technology Initiative Committee, is responsible for allocating funding to what's known as the South Carolina State E-Rate Consortium. That's the consortium that that I kind of manage. And we can talk about that in a minute. But we also provide funding for other things. One of our recent success stories I would call would be the Mobile Device Access Management Program. That was funded this past year. And that was an opportunity to get mobile Wi-Fi hotspots to eligible students in some of South Carolina's poorest communities. And so that was one use of the program that the community put forth, and I think is going to have some really long-term positive impacts. I mentioned the State E-Rate Consortium, and getting back to the E-rate portion, each applicant in the state, a school district or a library or even a charter school, can apply for its E-rate products and services. The South Carolina State E-rate Consortium is a collection of those entities, and so we represent 84 school districts in the state, 40 charter schools, and 42 library systems. All in all, about 1,400 schools and library branches across the state. And so our consortium collectively, that represents all those schools, all those libraries, is what we know as the consortium. Mm-hmm. And so that technology committee, the South Carolina K-12 Schools Technology Committee, we, like I said, we meet monthly, and we talk about issues that relate to E-rate funding for schools and libraries. We talk about security, and we talk about other topics that are real salient to IT networks for schools and libraries in the state today.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned security, and I'm sure there are a lot of topics that you have to really kind of grapple with, because when you get down into the nuances of this, I mean, every school, of course, nowadays has to have access to the internet. One of the things that the South Carolina State Library provides is Discus, which is the mm-hmm. South Carolina Virtual Library. And so, the way that schools access those paid for online databases for students to be able to do their research without going through Google or without, going through a website that might be objectionable to parents. So all of that infrastructure is having to be taken into account. So what are some of the other things that, because you talked about, just the broadband access, how, you automatically kind of think, well, that's not something that I need to worry with, or, you just kind of think it automatically happens, like each school district or each library would automatically get internet, but
yeah.
They have to go through this program, or?
They can come through the consortium. They can use E-rate funds to purchase internet. And I guess I should back up a little bit and say what the E-rate program is. It's a reimbursement program. It's not a grant program. It's a reimbursement program. And I think that's a concept that not everyone is aware of. And so when you think about it in terms of a reimbursement program, that kind of helps us frame the conversation a little more accurately. And within that program, we've got two categories. I have Category 1 and Category 2. Now, I don't want to bore the listeners too much without going into a lot of detail here, but,
you might have somebody listening who, they're new at their school or they're new at their district, and they need to know this information.
We see a lot of cases where we've got people who are new to the community, new to the position, and they're kind of handed E-rate, and they're said, here you go. And it's kind of, where do I start? Yeah. And so, thank you. I appreciate it. It's definitely a good point to jump off from. Category 1 and Category 2 are the two different types of services that are what we commonly refer to as E-rate eligible. Mm-hmm. Category 1 is that broadband connectivity. Internet access as you get it at your home, as you get it at work, as you get it at school. And so that is connections that go to a facility, go to a building. Category 2 is a little bit different, and it's a little bit newer in some respects. From a program-wide, nationwide perspective, Category 2 is in a 5-year test window, if you will. And so we're kind of evaluating how this whole Category 2 process is going. And I think there's room for improvement, but what the Category 2 services does is very important. And so I mentioned Category 1 is that internet access, wide area network, so your school to school communication, school to district office communication. The Category 2 are things that are tangible to some respects, the internal connections that support that internet access. And so if you have to have a wireless access point in order for your internet to communicate with the device you're working with, right? Mm-hmm. That's a good way to explain that. That access point can cost a lot of money for some school districts and libraries, but it's something that's pretty critical in ensuring that internet access is being provided to a student or a patron at a library. And so a wireless access point is a product that's E-rate eligible. Another example would be network infrastructure such as a switch or a router, mm-hmm. Or an antenna if we're working with something that's using technology like that. Racking systems, how you're going to house and support all these different pieces of hardware. Mm-hmm. Those are things that are critical to making sure that your network is up and running and is efficient and is using the bandwidth. And when you say bandwidth, that's the amount of internet coming to your facility, mm-hmm. is used as efficiently as possible. And so you have, to kind of recap it a little bit, you have your category one, that's your internet, and your category two, those are your products and services that support that internal connection.
Okay. And, I think what a lot of people who are maybe more closely involved with E-rate tend to forget that, there are a lot of hoops you have to jump through. There is a lot of paperwork, you have to fill out and complete forms. And, that's really to thwart fraud and abuse, because these are, it's a government program, and you have to make sure that, because I've even read somewhere about sometimes consultants who are hired to do all this paperwork may not be all above board, so you have to be really careful, just like in anything.
Absolutely. Consultants serve a very useful purpose. I speak with library systems and school districts across the state on a regular basis. And you're right, there is a lot to be done in terms of receiving these federal dollars. And a lot of times you've got folks who are in these school districts, libraries, that like, from a staffing perspective, I don't have enough time, and I don't have the amount of time in a day in order to be able to sit down and do all this.
Because you're trying to do that, but also unstop the toilet, or maybe deal with a problem patron or a problem student.
You name it. We understand that the consortium is established, and we have the folks on staff who can help any customer, our school, our library, our charter school, anyone who is in the state of South Carolina who provides. Education and library services, we can help and support. Mm-hmm. Consultants serve a purpose in the sense that we cannot, referring to me and my team, we can't be everything to everybody, but we are going to certainly try.
Sure.
Obviously, the consultants really feel that need, and they can provide that one-on-one coordination and support. And so, absolutely. Buyer beware. A consultant should be someone who, like you're doing an interview, right? Don't go to lowest bidder. Definitely, interview them and ask for references. Talk to other school districts or libraries who have used consultants. And so that's definitely very much so a buyer beware type of thing. Haven't really heard of any issues in South Carolina. Have heard of other issues in other states,
right,
of consultants where something happens, right? Something mm-hmm. goes wrong for whatever reason. And fortunately, the folks that stories we hear about in the state of South Carolina, we don't hear too many that's, as a direct result of a consultant, obviously.
So, that's always good.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the other things you mentioned earlier was that's a big topic is internet security. How does that relate to E-rate universal service?
It doesn't, honestly. And unfortunately so, security is becoming just such a key factor when it comes to, accessing the internet and being connected to the internet pretty much every day of our lives, and so with respect to the amount of, malware and attacks that can be launched against a school district's network, and we mm-hmm. have cases of those, or library's network, and is very important. From an E-rate perspective, unfortunately, there's not much that is eligible for school districts and libraries. That's something that I hope changes in the future. Mm-hmm. The closest we can, of course, get to from an E-rate eligibility perspective is a network firewall, if mm-hmm, you will. Mm-hmm. That is an eligible service, but it's not from the perspective of preventing security threats.
And like antivirus software,
right,
or something.
Those
like that.
Those types of things aren't E-rate eligible today. Mm-hmm. Right. However, the state of South Carolina, our office, the technology committee that we mentioned earlier, when we, of course, do a state master contract, which we just actually wrapped up doing this past year, for internet services, the master contract incorporated DDoS, distributed denial of service. The part of that state master contract, which I was kind of incorporating earlier, was DDoS was incorporated as a standard product. All entities, all schools and libraries in the state who purchase off the state master contract, and our partner with Spirit Communications in that respect, receives DDoS at no cost to them. And so it's a great, that's one level, that's one area of internet security. So you've got the DDoS aspect is one level of security. The Cisco umbrella will be another area. These are really the minimal state of technology, what one can do to protect their students and their library patrons from you know threats from the internet, from being online. We always encourage libraries and schools to seek out other technologies and providers that can really improve their security posture. That's something that is, we see it with hospitals, right? That information hospitals maintain is secure. Banks. Those types of entities have the revenue and have the ability of the, and the staff to implement very secure networks, robust networks. A school district or a library has critical information, has important information.
Right, because when you think about it, if someone signs up for a library card,
what are you asking for?
Exactly. What kind of information are you asking for?
Name,
same
address,
thing with,
phone number.
With public schools, is you've got student information, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you have to be really, really careful. One of the things that I wanted you to talk a little bit about, so maybe people can kind of understand what the outcomes of this program are, is have there been any success stories, any kinds of things where, you know, programs that have, you know, gone really well here in South Carolina as a result of E-rate funding?
Absolutely. I love talking about these. So we have some areas of we have opportunities for improvement, no doubt. But what I do like to point to are really good key success stories. And in preparation for this podcast, I kind of reached out to some of our folks that I speak to on a regular basis. I think they don't mind if I call them the squeaky wheels. They really do have good questions, and they're always looking for good resources. And I'm all the more than happier to provide them to them and put them in the right direction. But York County Public Library, I think, is a good one to look towards. And this really will kind of speak toward the program at large. And I guess before I go into the story, I want to kind of back up a little bit and get back to that topic I referred to earlier, and that would be in the, like this program is a reimbursement program. And really focus on that, because that's where I think libraries can have a lot of, get really the most advantage. And so York County Public Library has you know really been a long-term player with E-rate. They've been applying for E-rate for a number of years. Only until recently they have been filing for Category 2 services. I spoke with Luann James, who is the library's grants and assessments coordinator, about the programs, about the library's participation in the program. And she mentioned that the E-rate program really changed how the library plans for equipment upgrades. And so going from, you know, access points that might be end of life for example, or a core server that's, you know, end of life. And so they're looking at, okay, if I had that long-term vision, I had that IT network planning down pat, I understand how can I utilize E-rate funding to take my cost and cut them by 80%. And so in York County Public Library's particular case, they filed for approximately $60,000 to $70,000 worth of E-rate funding requests. So that means they put forth an application that said, all right, federal government, we'd like to purchase about $60,000 to $70,000 worth of network equipment. But based on their discount rate, they're only really required to pay $13,000 for that.
Wow.
Which is remarkable. And
yeah,
so
that's huge.
That difference, you know, really comes back to the library as a reimbursement, and maybe invest in other parts of the library.
Wow.
And so in speaking with Gene Brunson, who's at Berkeley County Public Library, same story. Gene files for Category 1 services. and the reimbursements that he receives from those applications that he files are reinvested back into other computers, printers, phone systems that need upgrading. And so what we're seeing is library systems who utilize the program very well are smart about it because they understand, okay, how can I utilize E-rate funding to upgrade my network? And how can I take the reimbursement that I'm going to get back from what's known as USAC, the Universal Service Administration Company? Mm-hmm. That's the federal government's contractor, if you will, for the E-rate program. Mm-hmm. And so we'll often refer to USAC as that company. Last one, I think, is one that really is, you know, close to you and I. We're both residents of Richland County. And Richland County Public Library, of course, passed a bond referendum for the library system to do a significant amount of upgrades. The folks over there at Richland County Library were really, I think, in tune enough and smart enough to realize, hey, we can take this dollar that we're getting from the taxpayer and we can go make it go much, much farther. And so, in speaking with Amy Terremoto over at Richland County Library, you know, she mentioned that, yeah, this program has been pretty essential to their massive renovation program. Specifically, the library was able to coordinate network infrastructure improvements at each of their libraries that they were building or renovating, and they used that E-rate funding, and it allowed them to really save that taxpayer dollar and make it stretch that much farther.
And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, when public libraries and schools and, you know, other public institutions really have to be very accurate and very, you know, specific when it comes to spending these large sums of taxpayer money, because basically that's what we're talking about. We have to be good stewards of these funds. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier is the planning aspect. I mean, there's a whole set, you know, you talk about renovating an entire library building. There's a huge technology plan that's a big component of that. And so do libraries and schools have to submit technology plans in general to you or to some state agency?
Right. Planning is a very healthy exercise in understanding how you're going to grow. And library systems submit technology plans, and I believe they're either a 3 or 5 year forecast. And they submit those to the South Carolina State Library System, and we just like to have a copy on file, mm-hmm. just to make sure that, just to see, okay, this is what we can expect from Richland County Public Library, or Newberry County Public Library. Okay, this is what we expect. They're going to be, you know, building a new library, for example, or they're going to be incorporating some new bandwidth intensive content, for example. How can we support them? How can we make sure that they're successful? And so that planning, not only is it good information for us, I think it's really good information, you know, for the library itself. Okay, you've got this plan. You understand. I keep going back to access points because they're something that's, again, tangible. We kind of all, for the most part, know kind of what they are and kind of what they do, and they're, sure. they're eligible for the most part. And so if we're looking at those access points, and we can say, gosh, you know, those things are about 10 years old, or, you know, 8 years old, they're getting at end of life.
Really is time to upgrade. Right. Yeah. You don't want Windows 95 on any public access computer in a library.
Yeah, exactly. and I'll point back to Richland County Library. That their renovation program was an opportunity to upgrade the actual fiber service. Mm. And again, partnership with our vendor, AT&T and Spirit, that was an opportunity to take them from an old, you know, I think it's a copper electrical handoff to a fiber handoff, which is going to allow them to increase bandwidth in the future, accommodate that future growth.
It is truly amazing. I mean, you do a lot with not a lot of staff, and you know, as a state employee myself, I know what that's like. So thank you to all you do and you know, and your team, to make sure that libraries and schools, educational institutions across the state have access to the kind of infrastructure when it comes to technology, internet, that they need. So I personally think you're doing a great job, so thank you.
Happy to do it.
Anything else you want to add about E-Rate or what you do? Any deadlines coming up?
Any deadlines? Well, there's always a deadline when it comes to E-Rate. If you really want to know, we've got September 30th. Is if you've got a recurring service that you need to invoice for and you haven't done so, you can request an extension for that recurring service go beyond September 30th. The only thing I was going to add was if folks who are listening want to, get more information about this program, how can it benefit your school district or library system, there's definitely a couple of opportunities coming up to do so. Curtis, you mentioned the website at the beginning of the podcast. We've got some training opportunities coming up this fall. First up would be our partners with the South Carolina Library Association. Their conference on October 13th. That runs, I think, that entire week, but I'll be speaking on the 13th at that conference.
That's Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. I'm going to hopefully make it through that presentation without any real big significant issues. but I'll be working, providing a presentation to that group as well. We've got EdTech. EdTech, I think, is traditionally for schools and school districts, mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anything that wouldn't benefit a library system from attending EdTech. Of course, that's at Myrtle Beach, so it's a good opportunity to get out town to the beach.
I've been to EdTech before. It's a great conference.
Great technology, content, curriculum conference. And so that's going to be taking place in Myrtle Beach October 25th and 27th. I actually have two presentations at that event. The first one will be on the 26th. That's when we'll be talking specifically about E-Rate. And then we'll do what I think is really beneficial to school districts and libraries is we'll call a state agency roundup. And we'll be providing some, not only from a Department of Administration perspective, from a Department of Education and other agencies, where do we see this topic going. Mm-hmm. And my presentation on that Friday afternoon, that's the 27th, is going to look at bandwidth. And that's something that's really critical to libraries and school districts to say, okay, the growth of internet bandwidth has exploded exponentially. Where is it? Where have we come to? Where we go? What can I do to help foster that growth utilizing E-Rate? So we'll be talking about that. We're fortunate enough on October 24th to have USAC, Universal Service Administration Company, to host applicant training in Charlotte, North Carolina. They've got three sites picked nationally, Charlotte, Minneapolis, and San Diego. And so we're fortunate enough to have one within 100 miles of Columbia, but of course, close to a lot of our stakeholders. And then I host our own E-Rate consortium training on November 8th. We'll be at the Greenville County Library's Hughes Main Library on November 8th. That's a Wednesday, I believe. And then we'll be doing one here in Columbia at our offices at Division of Technology Operations on Broad River Road on November 15th. And so we'll have more information about that on our website soon.
Great. So a lot of opportunities for people to learn more. And again, we will have a link to website and resources on the Library Voices SC podcast webpage. So thank you again. I really appreciate your time.
Happy to be here. Thank you.